You know, we've been going through 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I asked Pastor Ron a few months ago to come up and share with, he's going to share the last sermon or message on that. And so this is Ron Wilson. He's a great blessing and a gift to God from us, or to us.
Good morning, church family. Good morning. Am I sounding okay, Gary? Doing everything right? Not sound like it? If the green light is on, check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is it on now? 1, 2, 3. Whoa. Well, I'll work with this for a little bit, then if not, I'll throw it away. What? I'm okay? Good. Well, as long as Gary says I'm okay, I'm okay. You can still hear me okay then? Sweet. All right. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. You know, before we start, first of all, just thank Pastor Perry for allowing me to come this morning and share with you my church family. It's always an honor to be able to share with your family, and I mean that with all my heart. But before we do that, we just need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Like in a really bad way. Let's just breathe him in and exhale and breathe him in again. Because we just need his presence. It just makes it feel altogether different when we know and realize we're in his presence. Because I just love him so much. But as Perry said, that we've been for the last few weeks talking about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And that's been for several weeks. And quite honestly, when he first mentioned that we're going to be doing that for a few weeks, I thought, wow, that's a long time. Maybe too long. But you know, he heard from God. And everybody that's been talking about these five verses have brought something different to the table that God's used. And I'm so thankful for that. It's been God ordained, I believe that. Well, I have the honor to bring this to conclusion, this last little segment of those five verses. But I'll read this real quick. And I kind of talk fast, and I kind of move through things really quickly. Kind of come from my marketing background is compress it and make it smoke. So I'd say strap yourself in, tie yourself in your chair, and let's just go. But this is what these verses say. It says, but mark this. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. Brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Hone in on this right here. Having a form of godliness but denying its power have nothing to do with such people. So in the last days, there'll be tough times, terrible times, it says. People will have a form of godliness but deny its power, have nothing to do with such people. Now, we could talk about all the terrible times. There's plenty of them. We could talk about that and hone in on that. Well, I'm not going to do that today because I believe that even during tough times, I've witnessed the opportunity, I've been a part of some, that the church, which that would be like us, we can shine during tough times. And we have. And that's what the church is supposed to be because we are a light. So we could do that, but we're not going to do that. In fact, I've been, you know, chatting, the Lord's been chatting with me in the last few weeks about the verses about going from glory to glory. And that's really real to me. And I think, because I've got a corporate business background, and you've heard people say, well, I've got a job change, right? People will chat about that. You may ask, well, is it a promotion or is it a lateral move? So I just ponder that. Sometimes it can be both. But with God in the kingdom, this glory to glory stuff, there are no lateral moves. You're always going up, closer to God, something better, something deeper. It doesn't have to be bigger, but it's always deeper and more rich. Those are the glories. No lateral moves in the kingdom. But we could also focus on such people, that big long list, you know. We could focus on them. But I believe it says in Matthew, we're not going to do that this morning, because I think, you know, it says in there someplace that don't worry about the speck in their eye when you may have a stinking 2x4 sticking out of your own. It may not say quite that, but that's my paraphrase. So we're not going to focus on such people. We're going to focus on what God is speaking to us. And what I feel about that I'm going to take you back into time. On January 2008, imagine where I am. I'm in Starbucks. That's a shock. And I've got permission to share the story because I've shared it on several occasions. But I used to coach a gentleman. I think he's the CFO or EVP of Wilson Bohannon. Some of you know Randy Dawson. And I used to hang out with him a lot at Starbucks. And I'd usually meet with him because he's an early guy. So I'd meet with him about 6:30 in the morning at Starbucks. So I was there at 6 reading the Bible and kind of preparing, just hanging out with the Lord. And during that time frame, I was reading a lot in Exodus and reading a lot about the Israelites, you know, when they were in 400 years in bondage and they were wanting to go out, of course. And God did these all amazing miracles, just crazy, amazing miracles to pave the way for the Israelites to leave 400 years of slavery and bondage. And then when they got out, they got to the Red Sea and they thought, holy cow, we're going to get drowned here. And they started to grumble. And then the Lord, through Moses, opened up the Red Sea and they went through. Another amazing thing. Then they went out into the wilderness and then they got tired of the food they were eating and they wanted something else. They started grumbling again, so God gave them something else, something better. And then they went a little bit further and said, we don't like this water. It's nasty water. Then he gave water out of a rock and just kept going and going and going. They'd grumble. Good stuff happened and grumble. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's us. That is so us. And so Randy says, he says that he came in that day and he walked right past me. I was like in a trance reading my Bible or just talking to the Lord. And he got his coffee and he came back to my desk. You know, I don't have like a nameplate or anything, but it's kind of mine. In fact, I get a little upset when somebody's in mine, but whatever. So he comes back, you know, and he goes, Ron. And he says, I looked up. It's like I had fire inside of my eyes. And like I saw him but didn't see him. And I said, we are these people. And Randy says, we are what people? And I told him that story because I think we are. I think at least Ron Wilson has been. And you know, it's like God told me at that time, he kind of made like a plea for me to get out of where I've been and to quit being that type of a person. And I think, you know, we're a reflection. You know, we are the church. So how I look is kind of how the church looks. How you look, Lois, is how the church looks. How we all look is how the church looks. We are those people. But it's like he was taking us from a place of, oh, wow, this thing just keeps pulling my head. There it goes. Well, now I've really done it, Gary. I'll do it one more time here. But it's like he told me at that point in time, there's something coming. In January 2008, there's something coming, and it was revival. So it's like during that last eight and a half years since January 2008, it's like God took me, at least, and again, I think as a somewhat of a reflection of the church, into like a series, a season of introspection and repentance, of laying our hearts bare before him and saying, God, what is in here? Put more of the good stuff of you in there and take all the yuckiness out. And just hungering more for his presence. And as the song said that you led, Ryan, today, of stopping having that mentality of being a slave and being a bondage and being an orphan and start being a true son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's like that's what he's been doing in me in the last eight and a half years. And I've seen that a lot in different places in the church, here and other places, because we're all family. So I'm here today on December 2016, and I'm declaring something different. That number one, we're not these people, as it says in Exodus. We're not. And you know, we're not such people, as it says, Paul says in 2 Timothy, of we're not such people that have a form of godliness and no power. We're not. We're going to be a people with God's heart.
Well, I'm done with that. I've got some patience. God's still working on me with that. Thank you, sir.
1, 2, 3, there's good. Okay. Where was I at? Oh, yeah. But we're going to be a people that has his power. We're going to be a people that has his power. We're not going to be such people that have a form of godliness. But we are going to be godly. So, In these days, I think why God was speaking to me back, at least in January 2008 and those years after that subsequent, is that he knew that in these days today, there's a revival that's coming and has come. But before revival can come, we have to be ready. Not perfect, but ready. Revival is here. You've heard me talk about it. Whenever I talk about revival because I love revival. But is it really, you may say? Or are we just blowing smoke? Or are we just like having faith, so to speak, or hope that's built on sand, sinking sand? Or I think it says, and is it Proverbs? It says, are we just like those big dark storm clouds with no rain? I don't think so. I don't think so because I've heard stories like the Vicky just shared. And if Andrew up here too, if he wasn't back in Sunday school, he'd been sharing too that a ton of people, dozens of people getting saved. I hear, like she said, Julie, you know, leading a former co-worker to the Lord and now part of our family. I hear my sister Connie saying that she led my cousin Tom, who was as hard, maybe harder, and I'm not kidding, to the Lord on his deathbed. And I keep hearing more and more, you know, just more stories of also people coming to the Lord, but also, as Vicky had said, not discounting all the planting and watering that's going on, because that's so important. Seeds just don't grow like that. They're planted and they're watered and they're taken care of. They're nurtured. But when I was seeing revival has begun and we're living in it and it's only going to get richer and better. But I always look for common denominators. So what is a common denominator in all of that? Yeah, of course, God. That's a no-brainer. But there's something else. And I believe it's courage. It's courage kind of sandwiched between identity and unity. Because when all those folks we heard these stories about, it takes courage to be who you're called to be. It takes identity to know who you are. And God doesn't believe in lone rangers. It takes a family. It takes a village. So courage is a common denominator. We're going to talk about courage this morning. Now you may see have you ever had a message that the guy who was speaking or the lady who was speaking had rhinos behind him? I'm different. But, you know, this picture over here, if you remember, it's been several months ago, that from Tip City, Aaron Simmons Church, Heath Xavier was up, and he prophetically drew a rhino picture for us, and there's a whole prophetic word about that, about being bold and being different and being unique and being special, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So rhinos come onto the scene. And then I've got some good friends of mine that are senior pastors of the Toledo Vineyard. And I've got a chance to meet them this year and grow to know them, become friends. Bill and Barb Herzog. And they've been talking about rhinos. So we've been sharing back and forth about rhinos. So I've been learning a lot about rhinos. And I'm sure you would love to learn about rhinos today, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Yes, that's the right answer. And you know, there's groups of animals, groups of bugs. They all have names. Okay? Because like insects are swarms, right? Ants are colonies. Cattle are herds. Birds are flocks. A group of lions are called a pride. A group of buzzards are called a committee. We could just stay there a while and just let God talk to you on that. A group of flamingos are called flamboyants. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And a group of owls are called a parliament. But a group of rhinos is called a crash. A crash. C-R-A-S-H. A crash. So, a little more about rhinos, because I know you're dying to hear. Rhinos can weigh, a mature rhino, about a ton, 2,000 pounds. That's a big animal. I used to farm. We had cattle on the farm, and our big steers, they get 1,200, 1,300 pounds as a big steer. This is a ton. That's a big animal. Rhinos can run for short distances up to 30 miles an hour. That's stinking fast for a 2,000-pound animal. That's fast for any animal. They're nearsighted. They can only see about 30 feet ahead of them. Now, are you catching this? You would think that a one-ton animal that's got a big stinking horn sticking out front that can run 30 miles an hour but can only see 30 feet would be paralyzed. And they'd worry so much that they would just kind of take away all their power and they'd be apprehensive as to where they're going. But they don't. They don't. They move forward. We'll go into that just a little bit deeper in a couple moments. It's also interesting about rhinos because yet there's more about rhinos. I'm getting into rhinos. Rhinos, if they're laying beside their favorite watering hole, they like water. Say they're resting, sleeping, you know, a whole group of them. They're still called a creche. And why? It's because of their potential. Their potential. Interesting. So I believe rhinos are great examples of the church. They should be great examples of the church. They have courage. They know their identity. They know who they are. They know what God made them. And they know there's power and unity with other rhinos. So courage. The ability to do something that scares you. It's courage. Courage, the word courage, which again, the crux of what we're talking about this morning, it originates from a Latin word, cor, C-O-R, also meaning heart. So having courage is really means that we are able to do something brave from our motivation from within, from the heart. And I believe the courage that we're talking about this morning is a kingdom courage. It's not a worldly courage. It's a courage that stems from, of course, God, but it's knowing our identity. It's knowing who we are, sons and daughters, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and knowing that there's power in numbers, there's great strength in unity, of not being alone, because God never wants us to feel alone. Never. He's always with us. It says in the Word that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He's made us to have relationship, to want relationship, of course, with Him, but with one another as family. You know, I believe that in these days, in the coming days, God is releasing a fresh new impartation and a new level of courage because He knows we need it. We need it. The Marked Ones Conference, some of you were here back in October, and it was a great event. It was a great event, and I loved it. It's our third one, and we've had another one over in Eastern Ohio last December, actually about this time. And usually before the Marked Ones event occurs, and there were like 20, 30 churches here representing at that conference, I usually say, God, is there like a theme? God does themes. I mean, he's into themes. And I said, is there a theme that you would have for us this year? And I pondered, usually when I'm mowing the lawn, God talks to me a lot when I'm mowing the lawn, because I love mowing the lawn. And I kept hearing this song, Spirit Breakout, from Bethel Redding, whoever sings that, whoever that is. I love that song. It kept going through my head and then my heart. And then it dawned on me, it's like God said, it's going to be the Spirit Breakout Conference. Okay, I like that. I started working with that. But then there was something inside of me saying, like, there's something deeper. There's something deeper. Like, of course, God wants His Spirit to break out. But is there a specific area or a thing? And then I heard that word real loudly and real clearly while I was mowing the lawn, courage. Courage is a big deal to God, and it comes from God. And I'll tell you, the church, we need to be like a creche of rhinos. To know who we are, as Vicky said, I believe it was her or whomever, that we don't need to be like somebody else. Because I think I heard Bill Johnson preach a sermon once that once we truly know our identity and truly know who God, how He's made us, why would we ever want to be anybody else? We wouldn't. We need to know our identity and how we're supposed to look when we look in the mirror, not to see less of Ron and see more of Jesus when I look in the mirror. And to quit worrying about that next step, and to have faith to take that next step. And now I'm not saying that we shouldn't think about the future and destiny. I'm that destiny and future guy, inheritance. Heck, I've got it written on my arm. Okay? I believe in all that. But I also believe in not being so stinking paralyzed that we don't go full force and say, at least I can see you, Thad. So if I'm supposed to come to you, buddy, I'm going to run, man. I'm going to run and not worry about everybody else because I'm supposed to come to you and just run with full force, charging ahead with a sense of urgency. If you got the food on the plate, eat it. Don't save it for leftovers. Just eat it. I don't like leftovers. Well, I do. Chili soup is really good, warmed up a bunch. Other leftovers, like, you know, I don't take boxes home usually from whatever. But to live with kingdom courage, to live with kingdom courage, worldly courage will pass. Oh boy, the enemy will get big in a hurry, but to live with a kingdom courage that is everlasting, because it's not your courage, it's the courage that God's putting into your heart. And to be in unity, we are so much stronger when we're locked in arms. When we're not in dissension and. But we're people, we can get that way. Heck, I've been that way. I don't want to be. But we need to be in unity and valuing diversity in that unity. As long as we're going down that same path, to let people be different. To let people, in fact, want people to be different. Romans 12:2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, God is not limited by size. And because he knows he can feed thousands of people by a little boy's lunch, which does not make sense in the natural, but makes all kinds of sense in the spiritual realm. You see, we can get troubled by size and by numbers and by time or the lack thereof. But you know, the renewed mind is neither impressed nor intimidated by size and numbers and time. If my grandson would be here, he'd be dancing. With little Miles, he'd be dancing. But the renewed mind thinks differently. Because the renewed mind is different. The renewed mind comes from a kingdom realm of unlimited supply towards any problem or any issue. Unlimited supply. That's my God. That's my God. The renewed mind is courageous. The renewed mind is a revived mind. Say it's a revivalist mind. The renewed mind does not have a form of godliness, but is godly. The renewed mind does not deny the power of God, but is powerful. The renewed mind understands courage, and that courage has to be wrapped, not an all-inclusive list, but at least for this morning, needs to be wrapped in identity and unity. Because you see, courage is like, it affects the atmosphere. It's like a domino effect. You know how dominoes go? And courage is contagious. Have you ever noticed that when you're around courageous people? It's just like, whoa. Your muscles get bigger. You get stronger. Like your head's, your chin gets a little higher. Your chest sticks out because there's courageous people around you, you know. And I believe in them. And they believe in me, and we believe in God. And it's contagious. Courage changes the atmosphere. Let's stand, please. Father God, we just thank you for this morning that you gave this message through Paul, that you want your children to be godly. You want your children to be powerful. You want your children to be courageous. And if you would, just put your hands on your heart right now, if you want to agree with me. Father, we just declare this morning in our lives that we are your children. You are our God. We just declare this morning that we are a family. Brothers and sisters, all different, all diverse, all beautiful in our own way, but we are family and we are in unity. We declare this morning, God, we declare that we are going to be courageous because revival has begun and we are going to be a critical component within that revival. We declare this morning, God, that we're going to plant. We declare this morning, God, that we're going to water. We declare this morning, God, that we're going to ask the question, do you know Jesus? We declare this morning, God, that we love you and we love your presence. And we will walk with you. Fill our hearts, oh God, this morning with courage that only could come from you. Because, Lord, we're all walking in different steps and different paths. Sometimes it gets lonely, Lord. Let us see that there's angels all around us. Let us see you face to face, God. Let us feel your presence. Let us see the brothers and sisters that we have, the friends and family in physical form that's all around us, that we are not alone. But God, give us the courage just to be your son and just to be your daughter, because that's all we want. We love you, Lord. We love your courage that you put in us. We just bless your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ron.